This is BFBS Esports Live with OJ Borge.
I'm indeed him. Thank you for joining us for another Esports Live, bringing you the latest in esports news, chatting to special guests from within the forces and those in the gaming community. I'm going to be chatting to someone we've wanted to chat to for a while. It is Dan Goldenberg. He's the Executive Director of Call of Duty Endowment. Now, if you haven't heard of that, and I hadn't until recently, it's a fabulous thing. We're going to go talk to him all about that, plus round three of the gaming quiz, which this week I actually might be able to get some of the questions right myself. And we'll have all of the latest esports news. And we'll have music such as this, a song that until recently I didn't know was a cover version. This is Natalie Imbruglia on BFBS. This is Torn.
I saw a man brought to life. When he was warm, he came around like he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that man I adored. You don't seem to know, you seem to care what your heart is for. Well, I don't know him anymore. There's nothing where he used to lie. Conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am shamed. Lying naked on the floor. Illusion never changed into something real. Teller's right. I should have seen just what was there and not some holy light. But you crawled beneath my veins and now I don't care. I have no luck. I don't miss it all that much. There's just so many things that I can't touch. I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how.
Natalie Imbruglia, or Beth from Neighbours, if you want to go with the character that I fell in love, absolutely did, watching Neighbours as a kid. Natalie Imbruglia and Torn on BFBS, The Forces Station. Time now to chat to my first guest. And as I said, it is somebody we wanted to talk to for a while. Part of what is a fabulous, fabulous programme. It is the Call of Duty Endowment. The chief executive is Daniel Goldenberg, who joins us from the US right now. Dan, where do we find you in the US?
I'm in LA right now.
Oh, yeah. And may I say, of all the Zoom backgrounds we've seen whilst doing this, we've had lots of great Zoom backgrounds. Just tell us what's in the background of your shot right now for people who are listening.
Yeah, actually, it kind of frames both my ends of my military career. So on this side, it's a plate commemorating the company I went through the Naval Academy with a very long time ago, more than a third of a century ago, I'll just put it that way. And then on the other side, my change of command and retirement ceremony in Pearl Harbor, my last command, is a spear my team gave me.
It's a fabulous
Native Hawaiian spear.
Well, it's a fabulous background. But you're here to talk to us all about the Call of Duty Endowment. Now, before we get into the Code Bowl and what the plans are for it, for those that don't know, and as I say, it is a fabulous endeavor. What is the Call of Duty Endowment?
Yeah, so the Call of Duty Endowment is a charity focused on putting as many veterans or ex-forces into high quality jobs as possible. We were founded in 2009, and since then we've put tens of thousands of vets in the US and the UK in the jobs. We've just been active in the UK now for about 4 years, but we've made some pretty great inroads there as well, placing over 2,500 vets in jobs, and we hope to do another 1,000 placements this year. And we do it by finding and funding the highest performing nonprofits that do this work. So in the UK, we screened many, many charities, and the two that emerged on top were the Forces Employment Charity and Walking with the Wounded. And they both do phenomenal work, and we back them every year doing it.
Were you a gamer? Did you play Call of Duty before coming into this?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of my earliest memories from my sort of early teen years was I had a paper route. I guess kids today don't even have that anymore. I saved up all my money when I was 13 to buy an Atari 2600, then snuck off to the local mall and bought it without my parents' permission. So yeah, gaming and I go way back.
See, that's great endeavor though. What great endeavor that is to save your money up to grow. Have you tried playing any of those games since? Because I always have great fond memories of these old games. Then I play them and they're never as good as I remember.
So much fun. So much fun for about 5 minutes. And then like, wow, they're really... You can see how you can get tired of them very quickly. But Space Invaders, Pitfall, of course, I love that game. And I can't even remember. I think you could get Galaga on the 2600, but I can't even remember now. I still love Galaga.
Somebody will tell us, I'm sure, if you can. So let's talk about the Code Bowl then. It happened last year, and the Navy won it. It was the RAF that won it, wasn't it? It was the RAF that won it.
No, I can't say I have to be. I'm a Navy man, but I have to be neutral here. No, the RAF won Cold Bowl 3, shocked a lot of folks because they hadn't won any of the four rounds on their own, but cumulatively they'd snuck up on points and took it. I think it probably surprised everyone but themselves because the RAF took second place in a very tightly contested final for Cold Bowl 2. They were primed and ready to take it this time, and they left no doubt of their skills. They had Maddie, XE, Unknown, JWG, Calzoni, and then they were assisted by the great COD streamers Sprad and Jaffa Inc. So just a good group. They came together really well, and they're a class act, and they took home the trophy.
And these inter-service tournaments, they're always great fun. They're great fun to watch, I would guess. Not that I ever have. I would guess they're great fun to play in as well.
I've never played in one either, but getting a close-up view of the teams, they were having a ball. I think the night before they had a lot of fun during the tournament, and certainly at least one team after the tournament, the RAF, had a great time.
I'm sure it was all friendly competition, but how intense was it? Because I would guess you were there. How intense was the competition?
Yeah, it seemed quite intense. They were trying to get every legitimate advantage they could during the play, and they were real competitors. Honestly, we had, I guess about 18 professional streamers alongside the military teams, and So each military team, there were 9 teams, each had 2 professional streamers. And I think a lot of the streamers were kind of wowed by just how great competitors our military folks were. They held their own for sure.
And that's what's been great about doing this show, finding all these great competitors. Because we know the Army, we know the Navy, we know the RAF have great traditional sports teams in rugby, American football, in soccer. If I can use the S word, I'm speaking to American, I've had to say the word soccer rather than football. But true. I don't think a lot of people have ever realized that there is that world within the forces when it comes to esports.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the great things about it is esports is a great leveler, right? You don't need to be the biggest service team. I mean, keep in mind, the smallest service team of the 9 is the U.S. Space Force, and they won last time. So, you know, you just have to have motivated, talented people with a good strategy. And this year, clearly, it was the RAF. They delivered. You know, it doesn't take a lot of infrastructure or necessarily even experience, just really highly motivated players who are dedicated to the win. And that's what made it so exciting, I thought. It was just totally unpredictable. I mean, as an example, the oldest esports military team is the U.S. Army's team. They're a full-time team playing all the time, and they did not win. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. And they were very hungry to win, so it wasn't a lack of desire.
I'm sure they'll be coming back next year. Talking of this year and further forward, what plans do you have?
Yeah, so I can't say a lot, but we'll expect COVID for to happen this year, more than likely December. That's what we're looking at. So we're just finalizing a venue and a specific date. But I will tell you something else. The Cobalt Trophy crossed the pond. It's living in the UK now. And I wouldn't be surprised if it starts popping up in some interesting places.
Oh.
If you start comparing it to what happened to last year's trophy. As you may recall, the U.S. Space Force with some help took it into space.
No way. Did that? So I didn't see that. They took it into space.
Yes. The trophy went into space. So we're very, very interested to see what the RAF does with the trophy this year.
I mean, it's a great, the RAF having the trophy and having all the planes would make it a very interesting thing for it to do. Do you know where, I mean, can you give us an idea of whereabouts you think the Code Bowl is going to happen? Is it going to be this side of the Atlantic? Is it going to be your side? Or can you not say at all?
Not sure yet, but we will absolutely update you when the decision's been made.
Well, listen, Dan, it's been great to chat to you. Finally, you are a great charity. If people want to get in touch, if they're in need of support or they just want more information, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, if they go to callofdutyendowment.org, that's the best way to find us. And really importantly for our ex-forces and for our forces who are thinking about transitioning out soon, go to that site, callofdutyendowment.org, click on veterans, and then UK veteran support, and that'll help us link you up immediately with either in the UK with Walking with the Wounded or the Forces Employment Charity to help you get the need. And you should never, ever, ever pay for help. If you get even just help with your CV or your resume and interview help, practice, you're 2 to 3 times more likely to land a high quality job. So ask for it, it's there for you. We pay for it, it's free for you. Get help and you'll land a great job.
Dan, keep doing the great stuff you do for veterans, and thank you for taking the time to chat to me.
Thanks for having me. My
pleasure. There you go. Fabulous. Dan Goldberg, Chief Executive of Call of Duty Endowment. Fabulous to chat to him. Right, let's play some more music. This is Catatonia and Road Rage. Catatonia and Road Rage on BFBS. It's one of those songs that always makes me think I can do a Welsh accent. Road Rage! Obviously, I can't. So this is Esports Live. Time to bring you some of the latest esports news. TSM, Philip Imperial Hard Dosen, took shots at a few of his fellow Apex Legends pros after they complained about his squad accidentally benefiting from an ALGS session lagging out the second split of the 22-23 season for the North America. Got underway on March the 11th. It didn't take long for those pesky connectivity issues to raise their head, with the lobby lagging out and forcing players to restart. Now, it's one of those things that if you've not played a lot of esports, you've not played a lot of online games, connectivity and lag and the ping, it's always so important. And if you go to live esports events, you'll sometimes see lots and lots of timeouts. This is when somebody's had a problem with their computer or something's not working properly, because to make it fair, it all has to be above board. Call of Duty news, the COD League has recorded a new all-time viewership high on Twitch with the CDL Major 3. Now, we spoke to Miles the Ross a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And he was talking about it, how big it was going to be, what sort of event it was going to be. More viewers tuned into this one than any previous tournament since the swap to a franchise system. It had a peak of 333,277, if we're going to be super precise, collective viewers during the grand final. So that is the amount of people watching at the same time. The data comes from esports charts. Now, it was the series between hometown favourites Optic and foreign rivals Toronto Ultra, and is now the biggest in Call of Duty League's brief history. And it's one of those things where, from everything we hear coming out of that league, possibly it will not be a record for very long, because it looks like they're going to break it again soon with more people tuning in. And the ESL FACEIT group, EFG, is taking its ESL Pro Tour to Dota 2. It is possibly, if you go by the amount of money, at the biggest esports in the world. The first season is going to culminate in the Riyadh Masters, a $15 million tournament held as part of the Gamers 8 Festival. The first year of the Dota 2 Pro Tour will include seasons 19 and 20 of Dream League, which is an online league run by EFG's DreamHack. Both seasons will feature 16 teams who will compete. And this is always what amazed people, the amount of money in esports when it comes to prizes. But hey, traditional sports has it. Why not esports? They will compete for $1 million in prizes. Here's a bit of Weezer.
What's with this home? Is this in my girl? What have they got up front? What did we ever do to these guys that made them so violent?
know, there's certain songs that make you want to dress differently. That was one for me. Buddy Holly and Weezer, if you don't remember what they wore in the video, it was a very preppy look, which meant they wore a lot of cardigans. And I so wanted a cardigan after watching that, which, as somebody else, I think I must have been 14, 15 at the time, the fact that I was lusting after a cardigan, well, says a lot about me, doesn't it? So this is Esports Live on BFBS, the Forces station, with me, OJ Borge. We'd like to celebrate Forces Gaming and to test your knowledge about gaming as well. Now, we've had this quiz for a while, and I have to admit that I've been pathetic at it. We've had the questions week after week, and each week I've seen them be given to me, and I've looked at them and gone, there is no way. And then retrospectively, I read the questions out, and we get all sorts of answers back. A lot of them are correct, and I'm thinking, and I'm pretty sure about it, people aren't cheating. So here you go. Here is five questions to see if you know it. I will give you the answers before we get to the end of the show, either way, though. So first question, we start Call of Duty, and it's Warzone. The main map is set in which fictional city? So Call of Duty Warzone's main map is set in which fictional city? In The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, where is the Master Sword kept? Now, I can officially say I've attempted to play Legend of Zelda many times over my 44 years, and it's never really stuck, mainly because I'm no good at open-world games. I played when it came out on the Switch, and everyone was losing their minds about it. I bought it, and I basically just kept getting lost with my horse, and I found it the least interesting thing I've done for a while. But anyway, the question is, where is the Master Sword kept? Question three, what is the name of the weapon store in Grand Theft Auto? Again, something I know, but would I have been able to pull it out of my fractured mind? Possibly. What is the name of the weapon store in Grand Theft Auto? Now, I don't think this is a spoiler if you've not played the game, which I sort of did, but it made me very sad. And it's the same reason that I'm not watching the TV show. What is special about Ellie in The Last of Us? What is special about Ellie in The Last of Us? And the final question, what is the name of the gnome found in Left 4 Dead 2? I mean, that is a niche question. I played Left 4 Dead 2. It was this four-player zombie game where you had to sort of escape, zombies being all the rage at the time, as they are still now. What is the name of the gnome found in Left 4 Dead 2? Listen, if you get all five of those right, then I will bow down and kiss your feet, because you will have been amazing, because they are tough questions. If you want to know the answers, I should tell you after the Audrey Boys, and boys will be boys.
We lie and we fight, we don't cry while we try.
There you go. What a fine song to end on. Boys Will Be Boys by the Ordinary Boys here on BFBS. And that's pretty much it for Esports Live. What's that? I haven't done the answer to the quiz. You are correct. I indeed have not. So if you managed to get all five questions correct, then as I said, absolute kudos to you because they were tough. Good questions, but tough questions. Call of Duty's Warzone's main map is set in which fictional city? It is Verdansk. Again, this is one of those answers where, now, when I know the answers, I know them, but what I got on beforehand. In The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, where is the Master Sword kept? As I said, last time I played it, I just wandered around trying to work out where I'd left my horse. It is the Temple of Time. I do actually know friends who played that game incessantly, and I think completed it up to 100%, and it took them months. The amount of hours they had put in is ridiculous. What is the name of the weapon store in Grand Theft Auto? Imagine you're cruising about in your possibly stolen car. What is the name of the store you would go to? It is called Ammunation. What is special about Ellie in The Last of Us? Again, I really do hope that this is not a spoiler alert because I didn't play all of the game through. As I said, I was very scared of it and made to feel really sad. She's immune to infection. And the final question, which is solid. Anyone gets this right, you can have this show. What is the name of the gnome found in Left 4 Dead 2? It is Noam Chomsky. There you go. With that, we are done. Thank you for listening. If you missed Esports Live, you can catch it up again by going to bfbs.com/esportslive. Thank you to my guest, Dan Goldenberg from the Call of Duty Endowment. As I said, fabulous, fabulous endeavor. The work they do is brilliant for veterans. If you need any help, make sure you check them out and be in touch. This is BFBS, the Forces Station. Have a great rest of your week.
On air, online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS. The Forces Station.